Well, good morning and welcome, everyone. It is the Prayer Closet. I'm Pastor Tommy Briggs, back with you for the Prayer Closet. If you have a prayer request, 419-389-0893, 419-389-0893. That is the number. Call or text to get your prayer request to us. You can also email or text to prayer@yeshome.com and let us know how we can pray for you today on the Prayer Closet. 419-389-0893, 419-389-0893, or prayer@yeshome.com. And remember, we always keep your prayer requests anonymous, so we don't give out your information. Unless you would specifically ask us to use your name. Some folks do ask us to use their name and want to be prayed for by name, and we're happy to do that. But unless you specifically ask, we just keep it anonymous. You don't even have to tell us who you are when you call in. What matters is God knows who you are. And that's all that's important. So 419-389-0893 or prayer@yeshome.com. Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity we have to come and pray together, to lift each other up, to bear one another's burdens, to come boldly before the throne of grace, because you have invited us. You have granted us permission to enter in and come before you. And for that, we give you thanksgiving and praise. To know that we have a God who loves us and who cares for us and is concerned for us and is ready to meet our every need. So Lord, we pray that you would move with power, might, and strength in the lives of your people today, that you would build us up in your word and in your truth, Lord, that we would experience good things from your hand. And we pray this in your name. Amen. 419-389-0893 or prayer@yeshome.com. And let us know how we can pray for you today. But before we get into our prayer requests, we always like to get into the Word of God. And today we're going to be in 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 1, where Paul is greeting the church. And sometimes we can zip through these greetings, you know, get into the meat of the letter. But that's always a mistake. There's lots here. There's a lot here in all these greetings that Paul writes. So let's look at chapter 1 of Thessalonians. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by the hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now just look at that. We'll stop right there. That's just through verse 2 there. Verse 3, sorry. Paul talking about their prayers. So Paul, Silas, and Timothy writing this letter, and they're sending this as a letter to the church in Thessalonica. And they began by talking about how they're praying for them, and specifically what they're praying for. And it's not just, Lord, bless that church in Thessalonica. Help them to do great. Their prayers are intentional and purposeful in recognizing what's happening in this church. And what's happening in this church is an example for all of us. There's three things that they identify in this that are important, that testify to the vitality of this church and the work that they're doing. He says, we always thank God for you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith. That's the first thing, your work produced by faith. That they had a faith that was working, that was active. The famous passage in James where it talks about faith without works is dead. Sometimes it's debated, you know, controversial, saying, oh, are you saved? We're saved by works. No, that's not what James is saying. But what he is saying is that a genuine faith will have action to it. It's belief that spurs us to action. Faith is a belief that spurs us to action. Because we believe and trust in these things, we're doing this, right? What we believe should affect how we behave and how we live. If it doesn't affect us in our behavior and our actions, then we can't really be said to have faith in it. But the Thessalonians had a faith that was working. They had a working faith. He's talking about their works produced by faith. That because they believed things about God, they were living in certain ways. They were doing things. What we talk about, you know, we have faith in God and we feel like God's calling us to do stuff, right? You ever had that feeling that God's calling me to get involved in this ministry at church, or God's calling me to, you know, start up a friendship with this person at work, or, you know, start this ministry, or whatever it may be. That if we're walking with the Lord, inevitably, there's going to be things that God's going to call us to do. Because for the faith to grow and to spread and for other people to know, it takes work. There should be an action to our faith. Just going to church, coming home, and that's all that happens. You know, that's not much of a faith. You think of Abraham, you know, one of the great men of faith in the Bible. Just as the faith involved in action, right? Go to the land and I will show you. He had to get up and leave where he was and go to a different place. He didn't even know what it was. He had to leave behind his family, his land, everything that mattered to him. God said, leave all that behind. I want you to go here and do this. It was an action. So, God, our faith in God is always going to result in some kind of action, some kind of, there's going to be an action statement to it. And that's what the Thessalonians had. Theirs was a faith that was working. It was out in the community. Things were happening. They were doing stuff. It was being noticed. But it wasn't just that stuff was being done. Notice he says, we continually remember you before our God and Father, your work produced by faith and your labor prompted by love. So they're working and laboring. The work is prompted by faith or produced by faith. The work is produced by faith, but it's prompted by love. And it's that old, I think it's DC talk. Love is a verb. That DC talk or Newsboys, Jeff? Love is a verb. DC talk. Okay, I was right the first time. Yeah, old DC talk song. Love is a verb. Right? Love has action to it. So their faith produces work, but their love prompts them to do it. And those are two little different things. You know, we have faith that produces works. It opens up opportunity to do things. And our impetus to do those things, our prompting to do those things, is our love. So we have faith in God, which opens up opportunity to help others and do things. And when we jump on those opportunities, because we have love. Because we love God and love others. And that love is the impetus for our action. It's the motivation. I see a situation. I see people in need. I want to help them. That's prompting by love. You know, some of you may be say, Sponsor a Child, right? World Vision, Compassion International, one of these groups, right? Maybe you've gone to a Christian show and somebody's talking about it, and you see the kids, and you're like, I want to help those kids out. I want to do something. I want to just pray for them. I want to do something. So you commit to supporting a child or two or three or whatever. What prompts you to do that? Love. Love prompts you to do that. You know, you're motivated. You see those kids. You have compassion for them. You have love for them. Say, I want to help that kid out. So love becomes that motivator. The faith produces the action. Love prompts us to it. Love's what gets us up off the couch. To go and act. That's not just enough to stand by and do nothing. You know, Tuesday night I went to a meeting for Right to Life. As you know, there's this big petition drive in Ohio to get this constitutional amendment on the ballot that would basically legalize abortion through all 9 months. It would gut all parental consent laws, but not just abortion, but transgender care. It's a really extreme radical bill and terrible. And the meeting was all about how, what's our strategy for trying to defeat this? You know, and the point they made is, you know, prayer is great. It's not enough. You can't just pray this away. The people who are trying to advance this bill are working hard to advance it. And if we want to stop it, we need to work hard to stop it. There are actual things that we have to do. There's action that needs to take place. We need to educate people. We need to be out in the community. We need to do this and that. There's a whole bunch of stuff. But the point being is, if we really love children, if we really love life, and if we really love protecting the unborn, we've got to do something. There has to be action. There has to be labor that comes from that love. It's going to take a lot of hard work to defeat this. That's why they're recruiting people, training people, doing all this to get things ready. There needs to be labor produced by love. You know, our faith is going to compel us to do things. And our love is going to empower us for that. So he commends them for their work produced by faith, their labor prompted by love, and lastly, the endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Labor, your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're going to work, you're going to labor, it's not always going to be easy. You're going to have to endure. You're going to get discouraged sometimes. You're going to feel defeated sometimes. Sometimes we're going to mess up. Mistakes will be made. Obstacles will need to be overcome. There'll be setbacks. We've all experienced them. And sometimes you just got to endure. Now, sometimes you got to endure. It's like, you know what? This is just going to be hard, and that's just the way it is, and we just got to get through it. There's no going around it. There's no way to avoid it. We just have to do it. And that's just the way it is. That's the way in life. You know, if you want to do anything, there's stuff you got to do that you just got to do. And it's not necessarily very much fun, and you don't really enjoy it, but it's got to be done. You may have a job that you love. Every day you may get up going, I can't believe I get to do this for a living. It's great. But I guarantee you there's some parts about that your job, even though you love it, there's some points you're like, but I could do without this. I mean, I love the job. I love everything, but this, you know. But it's got to be done. You got your own business, and you may love running that business, and you know, maybe you're selling something or doing something and providing a service. You love providing that service. You love doing it. You get jazzed about it, excited about it all the time. But, you know, eventually you got to go back and, you know, do the paperwork and figure out the taxes. And that's no fun. It's a grind, but you got to do it. You know, and you're in sports. You know, nobody likes the two-a-days, right? The early practices, the conditioning, ugh, right? People don't get into sports, go, you know, I want to play basketball so I can do all the conditioning drills. You know, no, you want to play basketball to play basketball. But you know, if you're going to play basketball at your best level, you got to be in condition, which means you got to do the conditioning drills. You got to endure. Got to grind through. The early morning practices, you know, you got to put in that time. It's not necessarily fun, but you're willing to do it for the reward of everything else. And that's the way it is in faith, right? There's going to be things that we love. We get excited about. We're so excited. God's moving. We're doing stuff. We love what we're doing. We're serving the Lord. It's so cool. But, you know, there's going to be things and times where it's just a grind. And we just have to endure. It's going to be hard. Maybe we face persecution. We suffer. You got to endure. And what helps us endure? Inspired by the hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. The Thessalonians were looking to Jesus. And he was giving them their hope. The hope that says, you know what, I can endure this time because I see what's coming at the end. Bible talks about that in regard to Jesus when it says he was going to the cross, something he definitely had to endure. The book of Hebrews says that he endured the cross and scorned its shame for the joy set before him. The joy of salvation that he would bring. And so he was willing to endure the cross. Sometimes we're going to have to endure our own crosses. But for the joy set before us, for Jesus set before us, that should give us the hope to do it. To encourage us in those hard moments. When we feel like giving up, when we're feeling discouraged, when it's really hard. We look to Jesus. Who gives us hope. And this is what they were praying for the church in Thessalonica. Their work produced by faith. They had a faith that was active. It was moving. Their labor prompted by love because of the love they had. The love of God and love of others. They had to do something. And the endurance inspired by hope in Jesus. Because doing something sometimes hard, and it's difficult, and it requires just a lot of tedious work. But it has to be done. The Thessalonians give us a good picture of how we should be living our lives. We should have an active faith. We should be prompted into action by love. And we should endure in the hope of Jesus. And we can learn from their example in our own lives.